It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, yes. Hello. Hello. Welcome. Welcome, one and all. It's actually 1904 UTC here in Austin, Texas. It's really nice out. Very brilliant blue sky, but it is cold. It's currently negative one. High will be zero today, and the low is negative nine. That's in our good pal C. For cool temperature. I don't know what it is in Fahrenheit. I've left that world behind. I've been using centigrade so much that the only time I see Fahrenheit is on TV. And I just kind of like, okay. And when I'm cooking, when I set the oven temperatures. But yeah, I've got a warm hat on and my light jacket. It's the only jacket I have, really, because we don't get snow or rain or anything that frequently. I'm almost to the edge. I think there's some accumulation here in the garage. This is exciting. Approaching. Yeah, it's definitely accumulation of some kind. Let's see, is it ice or is it snow? Let's see. Oh, that's melted snow, boys and girls. Yeah. Yeah. Enough ice to make enough snow, really. You could make one snowball. Very cool. All right, I'm going to come to my shady spot to sit down. Doesn't look like any other parts of the parking garage have snow hanging out anywhere. So let me jump into comm. What's comm, you might ask? Well, if you're listening to a non-radio and you don't know what comm is, you are, I'm jealous because you are about to learn a whole bunch of cool stuff. All you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org. If you are not hip or you just have it already configured, you can always SSH over to sdf.org. But once you do that, well, make sure you're connected on the mobile internet. I'm going to have to restart here. Try again. There we go. My connection is acting up, but now we got it calm. Just type COM, press G for go to, and then type a non-radio, all lowercase, all one word. Boom. You'll be in the non-radio room, hanging out with the cool people like Ratsu and Tobe and the Fungus Boogeyman. I don't know who that is, but they are there. Ratsu says X1 shout out time. I hope the sound's coming through okay. I've got the microphone pinned to my shirt underneath my jacket near me. So I hope that works. But shout out to Ratsu and WX Boss, X1, Tobe, and all the people in Comland. I hope you're doing well. Welcome, one and all. So, like I said, it is January the 16th, 2024. It's 1907 UTC. It's cold. It's so funny that I'm going to say this a bunch because today and tomorrow are the only days we should have these temperatures. Negative one currently, low negative nine, high of zero. How cool is that? some people don't think it's cool. I think it's neat. Let's see if we can get our bookmarks to sync. First things first, you force quit Safari or Firefox. Then you go over to settings. And then you type sync now. And then people are honking at the intersection. I don't know why, though. All right, we press sync now. And then syncing finishes. Then we press done. Press the hamburger menu. Go to bookmarks. Desktop bookmarks. Bookmarks. Menu, news to me, January the 16th. Hey, that's today. Also, I've set it up. You can go to that GitHub link that I posted on Mastodon a while back. You can also go to SDF or mnw.sdf.org/in. I forgot if I did N2M or NTM, but one of those will be as a shortcut. November Tango Mike or in November Numeral 2 Mike. I forget which one I did. So, hey, it's an experiment. So let's get into it. There's a lot of death and destruction to talk about. You may or may not be happy about it, but hey, you know what? Like to hear it, here it go. 8 passengers are confirmed dead and an estimated 100 are missing after their overloaded boat capsized in north central Nigeria. And it's the latest in a series of deadly boat accidents that increasingly point to regulatory failures. The passengers were being conveyed from Niger State's Borgu district to a market in the neighboring Kebbi State on Monday afternoon when the boat overturned in the river, according to the Niger State Emergency Management Agency spokesman. The boat was overloaded, so the strong wind affected them. He said the boat's capacity is 100 passengers, but is estimated to be carrying a much higher number. Well, if 100 are missing, if 8 passengers are dead and 100 are missing, that's already at least 8 over capacity. Villagers were helping local divers and emergency officials to search for the missing passengers, many of whom were women. Boat disasters have become rampant in remote communities across Nigeria, where locals desperate to get their farm products to market end up overcrowded in locally made boats in the absence of good and accessible roads. That's wild. That's an interesting component. We need to have viable roads. That's not a piece of infrastructure. That was an infrastructure. While I love looking at this intersection here, it was a piece of infrastructure I kind of overlooked as far as like, oh yeah, there are places that don't have roads at all in this day and age. Still modern times. Anywho, some death, some destruction. Not all that fun. Don't worry. If people dying in Africa is not your cup of tea, how about in Missouri? 6 people are missing in Missouri in clutches of online cult, police say. 6 people, including 2 children who disappeared from their homes in eastern Missouri last summer, are believed to be in the clutches of an eccentric online cult run by a convicted child molester, police say. Family members of those missing are also convinced their loved ones are followers of a ground group founded by Rashad Jamal, a rapper and self-styled New Age prophet serving an 18-year sentence in Georgia after his conviction in August. Police in Berkeley are trying to locate the 6 who vanished from a rented house in the city last July after exhibiting what officials said were strange behaviors. Strange things afoot in eastern Mississippi, or Missouri. Keep wanting to call them Mississippi, my bad. When it was raining, they would come outside naked and run around the yard. They were digging up things in the yard. Other neighbors said they saw the group sitting outside in tall grass with their palms upward on sunny days, hugging trees and burying coins in the yard. The missing, 25-year-olds, 26, 29, and 23, they lived together in the home near the St. Louis Airport before abandoning the property after receiving eviction papers. No word on what's going to happen. Good roads are not cheap. That's 100% a fair statement. I don't know what's going on with the Missouri cult there. But that is just something to be aware of if you have family in Missouri. Another truck. Man, everyone on the road is using their turn signals today. Very good, very good. I think it's the fear of it being, since it's so cold out, I think people are being more careful. I really shouldn't have grabbed all that snow with my bare hands. Now my hands are cold. 2 planes collide in second Japan airport crash. That's right. Planes colliding on the ground. 2 planes collided on a runway in Japan in the second airport crash in the country within weeks. A Korean Airlines plane came into contact with a Cathay Pacific Airways aircraft at New Chitose Airport on Japan's northern island of Hokkaido on Tuesday. According to Hokkaido Airports, which operates the airport in question, they received a report around 5:30 p.m. local time. A Korean Air spokesperson said A Korean Air aircraft came into contact with a Cathay Air aircraft during pushback. Pushback at the airport by a third-party ground handler service vehicle,
which slipped due to heavy snow. There are no injuries, and the airline's cooperating with all relevant authorities.
Okay, this is much different. In the previous one, the Coast Guard didn't hear the radio say that the other guy was clear for takeoff, thought he was clear for takeoff, and ran into another plane. In this one, ooh, strong winds. In this one, instead, what's happening is the tugboat of the airplane world just ran it into another plane. So if the planes weren't under their own control, you know what? I'm not going to hold it against the airline. Let's see what we got going on here in comp. Colts really do the funniest things. Yep. Hey, Quentin's in the house. Welcome. Quentin saying, my family in Missouri is more the Colt leaning type, so I'm just not going to check in. Oh, man, I'm going to pull my hoodie up over my hat. Huh. Yeah, I should have worn my gloves today. I didn't think that it would be... the wind chill is pretty serious up here on the roof. But, hey, you know what? Say levy. we just alternate. I put my one hand in the pocket and the other hand holds the phone. That's what we do. All right. Let's keep on moving. There's more death and destruction to go on. Oh, you know what? Some of these are also not really death and destruction. So I just want to remind everybody, it's 1915 UTC, which means you've got 15 minutes to go before the Dubious Gold can be with Tope, a fun show that airs every goddamn day right here on and on radio at 1930 UTC. No matter when you are, 1930 UTC, you can hear the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. What else about that? Well, if you're cold, listen to the Dubious Goals Committee, and your phone will heat up, and then you can hold on to it for warmth. If it's too hot, wave your phone in front of your face, and the Dubious Goals Committee can cool you off. Just like magic. Anyway, there's a lot of news, so I want to jump over into some other stuff, but I'll give you the related news that I thought was going to be neat. In Kenya, a cult leader named Paul McKenzie is facing terror charges over mass deaths. A suspected Kenyan cult leader is to be charged with murder and terrorism over the deaths of more than 400 people found in mass graves. Paul McKenzie was arrested in April after the discovery of hundreds of bodies, some of whom were said to have starved themselves to death. Oh yeah, remember we were talking about this cult a while back. The self-proclaimed pastor has denied responsibility. The bodies of 429 people, including children, have been dug up from the grave sites in Shakahola, a remote forest about 2 hours' drive west of Malindi. Most showed signs of starvation, but some children among them, may have been assaulted. Mr. McKenzie is alleged to have encouraged members of his Good News International Church to move there and prepare for the end of the world. There's nothing better than a doomsday cult, I'll tell you what. Quentin, we did not get any official snowfall, but on the roof here, I walked over to a corner that's in the shade, and there's about a snowball's worth of snow here on the ground. I've got my footprints, and then I stuck my hand in and scooped up a handful, but just a little bit of stuff on the roof from the weekend. There's no accumulation on the ground anywhere. I don't think anybody recorded anything. Hey, my 32 cents is still here. I put 32 cents up here the last time I was up here last week. Nobody's taken it, so I'll leave my 2 cents. Take my 30 cents back. So yeah, it's unofficial snow. Hey, Claudio M's in the house. And Albatross. Oh, Albatross left. So see you later, Albatross. Still, yep, exactly. It's pretty exciting. Alrighty, I made the mistake of touching the snow again, so now my hand is properly cold. But hey, you know what? Them's the breaks, right? Let's keep on moving. Let's talk about some cool stuff. Or more specifically, let's talk about some interesting stuff, I guess. First, antifungals are going the way of antibiotics. That's right, they're being overused, and so they're becoming less effective. Fungal infections are awful, and they're so hard to fight. clinicians in the U.S. may be overprescribing topical antifungal treatments for skin infections, potentially exacerbating a growing problem of drug resistance, according to a new study. Last year, dermatologists in New York reported the country's first case of a newly emerging skin fungus that is highly contagious and resistant to common antifungal treatments. Silent community spread appeared to be behind the unconnected cases. Overall, drug-resistant fungal skin infections cause cases, aka ringworm, have been identified in at least 11 states to date. With resistance on the rise, researchers at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention took a closer look at how U.S. clinicians prescribe the antifungals. As is the case of antibiotics, overuse of antifungals drive the development of resistance. As a first step to assessing the situation, the CDC researchers turned to data on prescriptions written for 48.8 million Medicare Part D beneficiaries. So these are people that are on Medicare. So they're the older people. They're on like the public service healthcare system. There were a little over a million prescribing clinicians, but only about 131,000 of those clinicians prescribed topical antifungals. When those prescriptions were ranked by the volume of treatments, the top 10%, 13,106 prescribers, accounted for 45% of all the antifungal prescriptions written that year. So basically, there's a small group of doctors that are prescribing antifungals way too much, but it's a big enough, they have a big enough user base. Ooh, I can't hold my phone right now. I got to put my hands in my pocket. There's a big enough, big enough number of people they see because they're Medicare doctors that they're having an impact. It's kind of funny to think it's like, why does it matter about government policy about like antifungal treatments or medical treatments? And then it's like, oh yeah, that's right, because if your local farm, your local small town doctor overprescribes a drug, it's not really a huge problem. There's plenty of the drug, and you know, if it's effective enough, great. But if you have a federal program, all of a sudden now one dose, like, oh no, there's now 2,000 tons of this drug out in the wild, you know. Ooh, news to me, not made for sub-zero temperatures. Sorry about the delay here, rubbing my hands together. All right, I think I can go check on Calm. Tom's in the house. Claudia M. almost missed the news. Yep, Publius here. Yeah, welcome, welcome. The cult news, there was... Oh, thanks, ML Smith. Welcome, welcome. So the two stories, there was a cult in Missouri. Six people are missing. Then there was a cult in another country, I forget, in Africa. We talked about in the past, in Kenya. And the cult in Kenya, they were starving themselves. We talked about that. Antifungals, that's from Ars Technica. And it was specifically about ringworm, but they were saying it was, well, they specifically cited ringworm, but they're saying that antifungals are being overprescribed in the United States. So it's causing trouble. Ratsu's got a link there. But yeah, exactly. What happens when there's no, it's going to get ugly. Fungal infections suck. But hey, you know what? I don't know. I don't know. There's not a good spin on that. Use antifungals and antibiotics with moderation, moderation. So let's talk about some cool science stuff that I ran into today. Beijing Betavolt, New Energy Technology Company Limited, claims to have developed a miniature atomic energy battery that can generate electricity stably and autonomously for 50 years without the need for charging or maintenance. It said the battery is currently in the pilot stage and will be put into mass production on the market. Atomic energy batteries, also known as nuclear batteries or radioisotope batteries, work on the principle of utilizing the energy released by the decay of nuclear isotopes and converting it into electrical energy through semiconductor converters. Betavolt, which was established in April 2021, says its battery combines nickel-63 nuclear isotope decay technology and China's first diamond semiconductor module to successfully realize the miniaturization of atomic energy batteries.
The company's team of scientists developed a unique single crystal diamond semiconductor that is just 10 microns thick, placing a 2 micron thick nickel 63 sheet between two diamond semiconductor converters. The decay energy of the radioactive source is converted into electric current, forming an independent unit. Betavolt said its nuclear batteries are modular and can be composed of dozens or hundreds of independent unit modules and can be used in series and parallel. So battery products of different sizes and capacities could be manufactured. Say its batteries can meet the needs of long-lasting power supplies in multiple scenarios, such as aerospace, AI equipment, medical equipment, micro-electromagnetical systems, advanced sensors, small drones, and micro-robots. Excuse me there. The first battery that the company claimed... Oh, I'm going to try and mute this so I can cough, clear my throat. Okay, I think that did it. I hope that I didn't cough in anybody's ear. Hey, you know, welcome, welcome. Publius pointing out, beta voltaics are fun, but to the present day have rarely been applied in practice. Oh yeah, we got Doobie Skulls Committee coming up in 5 minutes and some change. it's a synth day. Oh man, I like You Know Host. I use that, but You Know Host is, I think, a play on English or French. It's a French group outfit. Alright. Alright, let's keep on rolling here. There's other cool stuff going on in the world that I want to be sure and mention. More power-related things, I guess I should say. The Peregrine Lander. So you may remember they were going to launch this private company was carrying a U.S. NASA moon lander to the moon. But when you don't have unlimited resources and you're doing something for profit, suddenly you're not able to do things that NASA can do. Astrobotics says its Peregrine spacecraft was unable to land on the moon because of a propellant leak, but it will instead re-enter the Earth's atmosphere in the coming days. In an updated post on social media January 13th, Astrobotics said it had been monitoring the trajectory for the last several days. Its Vulcan Centaur launch placed it on a highly elliptical orbit that took out beyond the orbit of the moon, with the original intent of swinging back around the Earth before going out to and entering orbit around the moon. Our analysis efforts have been challenging due to the propellant leak, which have been adding uncertainty to predictions of the trajectory. Our latest assessment now shows the spacecraft is on a path towards Earth, where it will likely burn up in the atmosphere. The company didn't disclose a time or location for re-entry. Independent analysis using available tracking data estimates a re-entry late January 18th near Australia. So, we'll see what's going on there. Publius being sure to point out that NASA has had failures too, but is required to disclose what caused them, so that anyone attempting the same thing can learn from them and make corrections. faulty valve in a fuel tank froze open and burst something. Ah, thanks, Quentin. Yeah. So, in the end, it's just kind of a bummer for space travel and space flight fans. Elon Musk has recently had an all-hands meeting with SpaceX. Love him or hate him, SpaceX is proving to be at least a company that is doing stuff in space. Last year was unquestionably the best year in SpaceX's history, CEO Elon Musk told his employees during an all-hands meeting. There were 96 flights of SpaceX's Falcon 9 and Falcon Heavy rockets, plus the first two test flights of the new Starship rocket. In 2024, SpaceX said it would aim for more than 140 launches of the Falcon rocket family. There may be up to 10 Starship test flights this year, according to the NASA official who manages the agency's contract with SpaceX. So they posted a video on Friday on social media. The video includes Musk's comments on SpaceX's recent accomplishments and plans, but the video ends before employees ask questions. So I just thought that was kind of, I don't know, it was just a little blurb. Let's see what we got here. They didn't get to do all the science and go to the moon, but the Vulcan launch was a success, which is fantastic news, and true. Morton Thiokol. Oh my gosh. If you missed it, I am outside. It's currently 0 degrees. It's -1. High is 0. Low, -9. And I didn't bring my gloves. So using the phone is slowly wearing me out. But it's okay. We've only got about 2 minutes to go
before the dubious goals can be with Taupe. Well, we've got about a minute, so let me hurry this up and just give you the remaining headlines for the day. Alberta has agreed to advance SMRs. The Supreme Court is going to decide whether or not homelessness can be criminalized. Essentially, there's whether or not cities can outlaw sleeping in public places. The court will hear an appeal from Oregon City after appeals panel ruled it could not remove unhoused people from public spaces. So we'll see what happens there. homelessness problem really is interesting to me, but we don't have time to talk about it because it's time for the Dubious Goals Committee. Show that here's every goddamn day at 1930 UTC. All right. Quentin saying, no, that's too cold. Yeah, it's far too cold for an Austin guy, but hey, you know what? The sky's blue, the birds are flying, and the dubious goals are going. So, power up the synthesizers. Let's go, boys! Woo!